Thank you for joining me. I'm Michael Bott. I'm a 61-year-old actor living near Shakespeare's Stratford-upon-Avon, right in the middle of the UK. And this is the very first episode of the Actor's Notes podcast, an eclectic and ad hoc collection of thoughts, discussions, interviews about life and acting, acting and life. I'm not famous or anything. I'm not a star. I'm not an acting guru, nor do I claim any special gifts or authority. But like everyone, I do have a story to tell. And sometimes if we share stories, comment on them, have others tell their stories too, we can begin to make some kind of sense of this thing that is an actor's life. Maybe. Now, as with any new venture, I'm feeling a certain trepidation. All the usual stuff like, will they hate me? Have I got it wrong? Will I look stupid? Am I actually stupid and I don't realise it? Who am I trying to fool? Who the hell would want to listen to me? Other people do this kind of thing much better. It really would be much easier to do nothing at all. Oh yes, there really is no end to the chattering of the little voice in the head. So, maybe it's right and fitting that I kick off with a little piece about fear. Not that my fear is interesting, any more than any of my problems, and it's certainly not interesting for your audience as an actor, whether they've paid good money to watch you, or they're a casting director in a room in Soho. They really don't need or want to know. However, to us, it's an enemy. It's an enemy to our charisma, our confidence, our memory, our lines, even our ability to move. Acting's a lifelong practice of feeling the fear and doing it anyway. And it doesn't seem to get any easier. It feels like it should. In some areas, it does, I suppose. But each new role is a new challenge, uncharted territory, new people to work with, a whole new context to assimilate. At age 61, I kind of expected just a little bit more ease, just a little bit more grace, perhaps, feeling more in touch with the swan than the madly paddling feet. On the other hand, I didn't do myself any favours, coming out of the profession for something over 15 years, only to return almost by accident last year in the summer of 2014. And maybe I've lost ground. Maybe if I'd stayed plugging away instead of opting for a slightly more secure and definitely more lucrative career in video production, then by now working would hold no fears, and the stage, the set, and the rehearsal room would occur as completely safe places. Dream on. As far as the stage is concerned, from my first school play through weekly rep at Frinton-on-Sea to understudying Bill Nye in Skylight at Wyndham's last year, the why am I doing this terror does not go away, for me anyway, and I suspect the majority of stage actors. In fact, sometimes it gets worse with age. On the other hand, while still potentially terrifying, performing for television or film doesn't quite have the same potent quality of scariness as does the bungee jump, skydive, now or never moment of making a first entrance onto a stage, particularly on a first night. If working with the camera is scary, it's more of a private matter. In the theatre, it is definitely shared. Theatre, with no disrespect to those who do it for real, bears more resemblance to going over the top to face the bullets and shells of battle in a close company of soldiers. Filming has more of the resonance of going into hospital for an operation. You trust in the calm professionalism of all those around you, and you do your best to keep your terror to yourself. Although I do have to say, the most scary beam-me-up Scotty experience of my professional career was in a TV studio. There is a form of television that, for the actor, exquisitely combines both forms of scariness mentioned above into one, the sitcom. In 1994, there was a Granada TV sitcom called The House of Windsor. This short-lived series was set behind the scenes at Buckingham Palace, and I played a character called Sir Robert Butters. I have never been so terrified in my life. You see, sitcom combines the same fears associated with theatrical live performance with the more subtle private terrors of being responsible for the complex machine of TV production grinding to a halt if you cock it. Take it from me, it's a heady mix. I don't ever remember feeling quite so ill as waiting for my call on that show. On the other hand, one of my most pleasant and unthreatening professional experiences I ever had was when filming. It was for an episode of The Royal for Yorkshire TV, and it was in 2003. It was just a short scene out on location, involving me talking to Wendy Craig while sitting on a public bench on location, high up, overlooking Scarborough Bay. It was a bright day with a hazy sun, and there was only a slight sea breeze, perfectly peaceful scene. I was there to do a job, but there was an experience of being inside a little cocoon, a little bubble. Two people who had nothing else to do but occasionally speak scripted words to one another and otherwise sit peacefully and take in the view during those long moments while the crew reset. It was like being paid to meditate. The situation just occurred as so beautifully absurd, being paid to be there and surrounded by the intense professionality of director and crew going about their jobs. Every now and again, we'd be asked if we were ready, camera roll, action, would speak some script to each other, cut, then peace, all again, all wrapped up inside of this soft machine that is all about me and Wendy Craig. Strangely, I've rarely felt so safe. But I'm getting off topic. What I was trying to get round to is the fact that over a period of a couple of years, a few years ago, I experienced another kind of stage fright. I had a band for a while. A blues rock kind of band in which I played lead guitar. And we used to do covers of classic rock blues tunes, some well known, some not so. The interesting thing was, in many ways, I found performing with the band more scary than performing as an actor. I don't personally know anyone else who has experience of both kinds of performance. And before you say, yes, I have sung on stage. But in my experience, at least, playing an instrument is different, probably because any singing I've done has been in character. You see, while I can reasonably depend on my powers of speech and voice not to let me down while being an actor, I do not enjoy the same level of confidence in my mastery of the fretboard and the strings. Added to which, rock guitar is played chuffing loud. There really is no hiding place. Bum notes cannot be hidden. Yep, getting it wrong in public is always scary, but the factor that makes all the difference for me is that if I'm playing guitar, I'm playing it as myself. Oh dear. You see, by and large, I'm okay, and you probably are too, when performing as someone else. I'm used to that. You could almost say it's within my comfort zone, however bizarre that may seem to some. That kind of tells me that I find some kind of comfort in being behind a mask, however terrified I might be of entering the stage or the set or whatever. In fact, it tells me that the terror of going on stage is that the mask might slip. See, here's the thing. So many people assume actors are show-off, that they're by default extroverts. Well, some are, of course. But for the introverted, quiet majority of us, acting is a clever way of remaining concealed whilst cunningly and subversively drawing attention to ourselves. As Laurence Olivier confessed to Dustin Hoffman not long before he died, when Hoffman asked him over dinner at Sardi's, "Why do we do it?" Olivier leaned over to him and whispered ferociously in his ear, "Look at me, look at me, look at me, look at me." For many of us, acting is a high-risk strategy, but the payoff is pretty good. For a while, you hide behind the character of someone else in a world of make-believe, and then at the end, after playtime is over, when it's safe, you step out. It's you that actually gets the applause, not the person you pretended to be. But a guitar, I've found, whilst being a great prop, it's a lousy mask. A Fender Stratocaster doesn't make me Jimi Hendrix or Eric Clapton. A Les Paul doesn't make me Jimmy Page. Performing as a musician, and I use the term advisedly, I've never had that experience that becomes so familiar to an actor. The feeling like just before you go into the sea for a swim. That horror of anticipation on your mind, of the first moments of cold pain before the plunge is taken. Then after a few moments, everything is okay. The feeling of relief as you find the breadcrumb trail of your character, your lines, your temporary alter ego, your way back through the evil forest of the stage to the dressing room. But playing with the band, that never seemed to happen. I still felt thoroughly exposed, scared of my own ineptitude. And while I enjoyed playing, I never got that brilliant reward of a feeling of safety at the same time as being exposed and at risk and in the moment that I'm blessed to have experienced in acting. Unfortunately, all this rather begs the question, what is it I'm so afraid of that I need a mask to be comfortable? And that, my friends, is the $64,000 question. When I play the guitar, maybe I think I need to be a better guitar player. When I'm acting, maybe I think I need to be a better person. But who cares what I think about myself? What's that got to do with doing the job and serving the script, getting the job? I mean, really, come on. It occurs to me that our best chance of doing the job the best we can is to, yeah, care like hell about the play, the movie, the role, the audience, the script, but at the same time, not give a toss about how we appear. If we're comfortable being vulnerable, where's the fear going to come from? Kevin Costner said an interesting thing in his Inside the Actor's Studio interview. He talks about how Lawrence Kasdan cast him in the role of Jake in Silverado and how, at the time, he felt it was the wrong role in the movie for him. He reckoned he knew better how to play the role taken by Scott Glenn. And then, in the interview, he says this.
It's the classic problem that we have when we do improv, right? We're sitting in improv, and we're sitting there, and we see somebody go up, and they are told what to do, and we think, God, I could do that like falling off a log. It's so easy. Why do I never get asked that? I never get asked that. Now they call your name, and they ask you to do something. You go, you freeze up. You don't know how to move. You don't know how to do anything. You sit down. The next one they tell, they go up, and they go, I could do that one. Why did they give that one to me? Why do I always get the hard ones? You get the hard ones because you ain't loose. And we're all great when we're loose. And that's the big struggle in acting, is to be loose. So,
the great struggle in acting is to be loose. We've got a good idea of what he means, but how can we approach that? How can we make being loose a reality when flight or fight tenseness is all we experience? How can we be comfortable being vulnerable? Sadly, James Lipton did not give Mr. Costner an opportunity to elucidate. Not only that, I do strongly suspect that we're never going to solve the problem by talking about it, and neither you or I are going to have an epiphany right now simply by airing the subject. I'm afraid it's one of those things we're going to have to practice. But now, having talked about it, perhaps we can practice with a slight advantage. Performing without fear seems oxymoronic. To practice performing without fear, what does that look like? But to practice being loose while performing, to practice being vulnerable, wait a minute, I think I can see an opening here. I can possibly get my head round that. Being loose is something we at least we feel we could try out. Being vulnerable, yeah, I could give that a whirl. Like all things that need practice, it may not work the first, second, or even the third time, but getting in the habit may just release something. It's certainly a different paradigm to take on stage or onto the set, or into the casting room. So, I'm going to do that. Practice being loose. Check it out yourself, maybe. I'll let you know what happens. You do the same. Thanks for listening. See you next time.